This is Bob Gilgore, and I'm interviewing Ed Caldwell this morning, December the 5th, interviewing him at his home at 107 Caldwell Street. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Bob.
I wanted to talk this morning specifically about one period of time, and that is the time before the decision was made to integrate the high school and the events around that time period. And so I wonder if you would just start by discussing that period of time, what was going on, what were the issues in the white community, what were the issues in the black community, what the school board was deciding to do, and how the communities responded to that.
Okay, I think we probably need to start back at the time there was an advisory committee made up of citizens and teachers and other persons. There were maybe one or two blacks that sat on that board. I happened to be one. It seemed to me that everything was already preset. Whoever the teachers from the white schools had made all the decisions, that the newspaper, the mascot, everything that would come to the consolidated school was going to be pretty much Chapel Hill High. Lincoln did not have any things that they brought from the old school to the new consolidated school. I had said to them I thought that was a mistake, however they proceeded to do it the way they wanted to. They made their recommendations to the school board, and the school board pretty much accepted that advisory committee report in toto. There was a lot of discussion at that time, I do remember, from the black community about giving up Lincoln. The community was pretty much divided, that they really didn't want to give up the traditions of Lincoln. And there were a few parents that said, let my children graduate from Lincoln, man, and then we will integrate. So it was not a unanimous decision. I do know that the school board was under considerable, what is the word I want to use, where many of the white members of the community had said, we don't want blacks there anyway, that's our school and whatever. So I think there was a compromise, you know, that was introduced to them that the white children would go out at one point and then the black children would go later.
This was to the new high school?
This was to the new high school.
So it was originally set to be white for a while and then it would be integrated?
That's right. That was sort of the discussion that was coming before the school board. School board made the decision that they would accept that. Now, I've talked with several members of the school board because I was on the school board, and they said that they thought there might be violence. And there was a negative element out there that was very violent, and they were getting phone calls, and they were cautious. I guess that's what...
And this violence would come from what community?
The white community. That was just a small element at that time of diehard people that didn't want the school to be integrated in it. And they had made phone calls to the school board that there was going to be violence. This was the school board's way of trying to prevent violence. That's what they said to me many years after that. So they made the decision that that's what they would do. The white kids would go out one year and then the black kids would come the following year. After they made that decision, they had a It came for a public hearing to the black community, pretty much, to talk about their decision. They met at First Baptist Church on Graham Street. That church was overflowing. And once the school board introduced what the decisions was, they were getting feedback. I think the school board really was surprised, I would think that would be the word, of the strong feeling of the parents. It was a very strong feeling, and they asked all kinds of questions. One question that I recall was, if that was the case that the white children would go 1 year and the black children would go, would they continue to put money into Lincoln? School board said no. They did not plan to put any more money into Lincoln. In fact, they were even going to cut the budget, even the continuation budget, and the parents were just furious. I do recall I got up and made a speech. You know, I just thought that was just a horrible decision, you know, that they were going to have all kind of problems, you know, if they allowed the white children to go 1 year and then the black children to go the next. I had said that to me, those white children would feel like that school was theirs and blacks would be coming in invading their school. It was my recommendation to the school board that everybody go out at one time. They went back and said that they would sort of take that under advisement. And
was that after this meeting at First Baptist Church?
Yes. Okay. I talked with, going back to that meeting, I talked with some of the school board members that they said that they were very afraid. They didn't want to leave the church that night. They thought that the parents may attack them.
So the school board was there.
That's right.
At First Baptist Church.
They had that public hearing at First Baptist Church. Okay. And the feelings and the anger so great that they came, they told me that they were really afraid to leave. They were thinking about calling and getting a police escort to get out of the church.
Was this directed, do you think, at the school board or at the white community in general, or hard to say?
I think it was hard to say. I think it was directed at the school board because the school board made the decision. Okay. School board made the decision to take that advisory committee's report without making any alterations. I do know that questions came up at that time. Well, we have a great tradition at Lincoln. Why is everything, you know, coming from Chaplain High and we don't get the chance to have anything from Lincoln, you know, that we feel proud of? I do know that came up, and they didn't change their mind. They went out. I think that the one thing that I remember was the fact that in choosing the principal, they chose Mrs. Marshbank, who was the white principal at Chapel Hill High. I do know there was a strong feeling that Mr. C.A. McDougall wasn't even given an opportunity. He became vice principal. Now, if you look back at that, Mr. McDougall had all kinds of graduate degrees, whereas Ms. Mossbank did not have the same educational background that he had. He was a strong leader, just was a magician from our eyesight that we ran a very, very good school with very few resources. That really hurt everybody. because we thought very highly of Mr. McDougall. And I think if you look back at all the teachers, all the department heads were white, all the blacks were in subordinate roles. There were many black teachers that didn't even go to the school. If they went, they didn't remain very long. So those are the things that were brought out at that public hearing, that mass meeting. Now, this is what I remember. They made that decision that they were going to go with that same decision to carry the children, white children out 1 year, bring the black children the following year. Somebody, and I think it was somebody from the law school, brought to our attention that one way to accomplish where all the kids go to the school at one time would be to close Lincoln. One way to do that is that they had freedom of choice, okay? Person could decide which school they wanted to go to. It was found out that if the enrollment dropped below a certain level in a school, that school had to be closed, okay? And that was the strategy that we used to close Lincoln. I do recall that we had a number of white students from the law school and other places working with us, man, going around talking to parents. I, at that time, was head of the only black political organization, but we used to work in political campaigns.
Pride.
It wasn't Pride, it was the Chapel Hill Civic, Negro Civic Club. But at that time I had run all the political, so I knew, I had all the lists of parents and that sort of thing. And so I pretty much organized that, and we went around and talked to parents. It was necessary to pair off black with a white to go into the homes. Blacks really need to see somebody that they recognize. And we went in and talked to them that this was seen to be the best way to go. And we're not gonna put any more money into Lincoln. Everybody may as well start off at one time. We hate very much to close Lincoln, but Lincoln's gonna be closed anyway. So
you went door to door.
Went door to door.
And it was a black and a white.
Right.
And how did you choose the people who were going to talk to the family and the community?
Well, you know, both did it together.
And who were the whites involved with this? Where did they come from? Was it school board members?
No, these were white students. These were professors, you know, at the university.
UNC.
During that time, you know, we all sort of worked together. There was a strong liberal coalition of whites that were working on things that had to do with integration and so forth.
That was my next question to you, and that was, where were you getting help? You had mentioned some legal help and then some university help. Were you getting help from the NAACP? Were you getting help from the law school?
Law school. We had people like Dan Pollock and many of the professors down there that that helped us. So you know, they advised us. When you look back, people like Dan Pollock, Joe Straley, and those persons, man, have been on the fine line for years and years and years. You know. And they found students for us. They also participated.
Now, when you say students, you mean UNC students or Chapel Hill High School?
No, UNC students. Chapel Hill High School students wouldn't be involved in anything like this. They didn't have the maturity, plus they did not, I guess the word would be, they weren't that mature enough to say this is what ought to be. I think that college students probably were a little bit more. You had people like Ann Queen at the YMCA, you know, finding students and so forth to work. So it went over well.
So your help was all local help, or did you have some national help?
No, all local. All local. And the thing that I remember was that we worked together as a team. The whites didn't dominate. You know, they left decisions to us. You know, they were the support. They did not push their way in. We were the leaders, you know, and they were the supporters. That's what I remember. And then I found out that it had dropped down below, I think it's 70 people, man, that they had to close that school. And so then the school board had to go back and make the decision, man, that everybody go out at the same time. And in fairness to the school board, I really do think that they were caught. You know, I talked with people like Mary Scroggs, I talked with Norm Weatherly, you know, and they just said, they didn't want any violence, you know. And that's the reason they made the decision that they made. They just thought there was a bad element out there that may precipitate violence. And so they were trying the best they knew how, you know, to make a decision. And they told me, you know, that was the worst decision that they think they've ever made, you know.
To have the school white for a year and then what?
Right. Also, not to give more consideration to compromising and making sure that some of the Lincoln tradition came to that school, you know, at the time that it was made. So they went back and revisited that, and they then made some decisions to include some of Lincoln's names, mascots, and that sort of thing. If you remember, Chapel Hill High was the Panthers, and Lincoln was the Tigers. And if you remember, it was still Chapel Hill High Tigers. They looked at the colors, they looked at a number of things, and I think they pretty well compromised as well as they thought they did. Now, this came about after the black kids routed, you know, tore up the school and that sort of thing.
But the compromise, it didn't occur initially?
No, it didn't. The children had to create a riot at that school for them to be considered.
So when the school opened, it was all Chapel Hill High colors, mascots, school song, trophies.
Trophies, everything.
Mostly teachers, too.
Teachers. We were just incorporated in that school. And all of Lincoln's traditions, you know, went by the wayside. And so, you know, they came back later and tried to make corrections and so forth. At that time, after the riot, they created committees containing both white and black PTA members, where we sit down and we hashed out things. And I thought that it went very well. I had served at that time as one of the leaders on these committees. So I think I was about the only black leader, you know, that worked. I know they had contacted Howard, but Howard's direction had gone more towards town council and running for the Board of Aldermen. He did meet but I don't think he stayed there, you know, and worked that out. I do recall, you know, working with some of the parents and so forth. We worked that out pretty well, and those things were implemented. That's pretty much, you know, what I remember.
When the school opened, was there violence? Did that have police protection?
I don't recall it being violent. I do recall black kids being taunted, you know. I knew that those black kids were not going to take, you know, a whole lot of stuff, you know. Now, there may have been individual fist fights or whatever. I'm not sure. I do recall the kids coming to a mass meeting at First Baptist, and they were some astute, very bright black kids. One of the things that they had proposed to us is that they no longer attend Chapel Hill High, that we open up our own schools. And those kids had that thing all worked out, man, that we were going to be having school in churches and whatever. We were going to run our own school. And I told them, where are we going to get the money from? I do remember standing up and pretty much throwing a monkey wrench in that. I told them we didn't have the money. We don't have the teachers. We don't have the resources, you know, to run our own schools. Best thing to do is go back and let's address the issues and work those out.
What were the issues? Why did they want to run their own schools?
Because no matter how bright, how much they were leaders or whatever, they were in the minority, and so therefore they would always get voted down. They ran for school president, whatever, they were not going to be elected. And they'd much rather be in their own schools, you know, and this is what came through. Those kids were very, very tough, I do recall. You know, I mean, they backed their parents down, and their parents about to go along with succeeding from the school system, you know, and I just stood up and said, no, we're not going to do it that way, okay? I told the parents, man, you in control. These are kids, okay? And even though most of these kids, I like them very well, we're not going that way. You know, and the parents went along with me. So we didn't succeed from the school system. I told them that if you look at the history, in 1911, they succeeded from the school system under Reverend Hackney. That's when they had their own school in Hack High, you know. But I told them this is a different day, you know. There's no way that we could run a school, you know, and fund a school. So pretty much that's how I remembered everything.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the riot that occurred? How long it took to for that to develop? Was that in the second year of the school being open?
You know, I don't know. I think it must have been in the second year. I think it must have been. I can't remember now what year it was in.
Was that something that the black community knew was going to happen, or was that totally done by the students?
Totally done by the students. You know, students were out there. Students were the ones that were taking the abuse. Okay, students told us about it, but you know, we didn't have a knowledge of what was really going on.
What kind of abuse were they complaining about? You've touched on some of the things, but was there more besides the fact that they couldn't have leadership roles and they felt it was mainly a white school and they were in the minority? party there and couldn't succeed.
I think that was it. Also, every issue that came up, those kids were still trying to push the traditions of Lincoln. I'll give you an example. At the time of graduation, you know, they select marshals, okay? And I do recall that no black kids were selected as marshals at graduation. Well, that got to be a real controversy, and I'm not sure whether it something happened out there. I don't know if they boycotted or what, but I do know that it came to the administration and came to the school board. Handled by, I think you had six marshals, and how the school board handled it, if I recall, was to select 12 marshals, you know, and six white, six black. So it was things like that being challenged, you know, all along the way. I do recall kids complaining about not being selected to the choir, not being selected to participate in the band. We had choir directors and band leaders, man, that told these kids they didn't have the talent. So they sort of eliminated them. Lincoln had a strong tradition of music, both in choir as well as band. In fact, if you look back, we won all kinds of medals at festivals, you know, and all of a sudden, none of our kids could play music, you know. Prior to that time, I'm sure under Mr. Bell, we had 100 and some kids. We had a band of 100 and some that just sort of disintegrated, man, when, you know, they went to Chapley High. Chapley High could never play with us. Never. At all the Christmas parades and so forth, we just make them look sick. I hate to say it. If you would ask anybody at that time, man, you know, we made them look sick. They just could not compete with us. And during the parades and so forth, Christmas parades, when our band came down, we were competing with Hillside, okay? Hillside was the band that we competed with, okay? See who could outdo each other. And we've always competed with Hillside. Chapley High was just on the side, just never could compete.
Was Hillside a black school?
Or? Oh, yes, from Durham. And I think if you look at the paper, Chapel Hill paper last week, you know, Hillside is still showing off and whatever. And I think that the kids, man, missed that rivalry, you know, competing with Hillside and whatever. To back up and just give you some, when we first started out, Hillside always had a band of 100 and some, you know, and they were good. When we first started out, I think we had about 13 people, and our band probably grew to 20-something, you know. But we still could play music. We could make more come out of those horns, man, with 12 to 26, man, that Hillside could do with 100, you know. And they knew that. So we had some real rivalries, you know. Our cheerleaders band had homemade majorette uniforms, man, made by Miss Pope in the homemade room, okay? We didn't have uniforms, okay? We had white pants and blue blazers, okay? and Hillside had uniforms, okay? But when we got out there, we showed our stuff. And even now, when I see people from Hillside, man, you know, they go back and we've always just had that rivalry, you know, even though they were a much bigger school. You know, we competed with them. Basketball, football, band, whatever.
I wanted to get back to the time leading up to the riot, and wanted to ask you about the relationship between the black students and the white teachers. And I know about the band and the choir, but what about the academic aspect of this? Was that an issue? Did the white teachers treat the black students any differently from the white students?
Well, I would say yes, but I wasn't there, and I don't recall if that was an issue. I do remember kids complaining about not being given the same consideration. Well, body languages and so forth. For an example, tone of voice. You know, if a white kid said, "Oh, Johnny, that was magnificent." Black kid, you know, well, that's okay, you know, but not the same kind of acknowledgement and whatever. And that went on for years and years. In fact, that was one of the things that the black kids would continue to say being in that school. And the school board worked on all kinds of bringing in and holding workshops for teachers. You know, white teachers just didn't think that black kids could learn. They did not think that black kids came out of good homes, you know, that supported them. They just had negative attitudes as to black kids. Now, let me back up and say that wasn't universal, because there were some white teachers, man, that went overboard to work with black kids, and white kids complained to their parents, man, that these teachers give more consideration to black kids than they did to whites. So those things, I know, went on even to the point I remember when I left the school board. So I just didn't think that, I thought those kids, man, were fighting their battles, you know, and it's hard to get into each and every class and whatever. And I do recall, even when my kids went through the school, having to go out, you know, and confront different situations, you know, which I did. But think of the number of black parents that didn't feel comfortable, man, to go and act as an advocate for their children when their children came back. I spent a lot of time as a school board member out at the schools, man, troubleshooting, trying to put out fires and that sort of thing. And that really wasn't my role.
The PTA at Lincoln High School, from the interviews I've done, I get the impression that it was very active, that parents were very involved. And am I hearing you say that the black parents were no longer very active in the PTA? Going to the school? And if that's true, can you explain why?
Well, once they integrated, black parents didn't feel comfortable going and participating in the PTAs. If you want to look in depth at what was going on, some of the same parents that they were meeting with, these people worked for. Okay. You know, it was an economic thing. You know, they disagreed with somebody that they worked for, man. It just strained the employee relationship. So they preferred not to sit on these things. They didn't want to go. Okay. And I think it was more economic than anything else. I think that black parents also said, you know, we don't have to work as hard now to fund the schools. Many of the things, man, that we had as far as uniforms and supplies and books and whatever.
School bus.
School bus also.
You had to raise the money.
We raised the money to buy activity bus. You know, and Mr. Smith repaired it. Okay. But those were in the later years when they bought that activity bus.
So you had not only an emotional investment in Lincoln High School, you had an economic investment.
Yes. And that was the responsibility of the PTA. PTA raised money, man, to supplement what should have been coming as operating funds. Okay. Each year the PTA had a project, you know, to raise money, you know, for something in that school. The senior class and so forth had a responsibility to give a gift, you know, and Mr. McDougall or somebody designated what they needed. And so the classes raised money. We were always selling candy and having shows and whatever to raise money, you know, to support that school. And I would imagine once they integrated, parents said, well, you know, this is our opportunity to take a little break. Okay. You know, the PTA bought the uniforms. For the first time we had manufactured uniforms. Well, they raised the money for that. They raised the money to buy band instruments. I would imagine that the PTA supplemented the travel budget. There was a lady in town that had a bus named Miss Susie Weaver Gospel Singers that used to sing in Durham. Well, we used her bus, you know, to travel with the football team and the basketball team. Anytime the band went anywhere, we used her bus. I'm sure she gave us pretty much that bus at cost. You know, we just put the gas and whatever in there. And I'm sure that I meant to call one of my classmates that was a driver, you know, and see if he remembered. I know Mr. R.D. Smith would remember because he was the treasurer of Lincoln High School. But, you know, they bought everything, you know.
So I assume that these were things that Chapel Hill High School funds were provided by the school board, or did they have to raise that?
No, they didn't raise it.
Raise the money too?
No, I don't recall them raising anything, okay. We were pretty close to them. Our parents worked for them. They were just outspoken, and anything they wanted, man, they just petitioned school board, and they pretty much got it.
So separate but equal was separate but unequal when it came to funds.
Very much so.
You know, it's easy to look back and have 20/20 hindsight, but this was a Supreme Court decision, and why didn't the black community challenge that legally by showing it wasn't separate but equal, it was separate but unequal? Or did they?
I don't think they did. I think you really have to understand what Jim Crowism was all about. I mean, that was so ingrained that people didn't really feel that they could challenge. It took the Supreme Court coming out to challenge that. It took Martin Luther King challenging the buses in Montgomery came. I think that we had been beat down so much that we just didn't see how we could challenge anything. The courts were against us. Legislature were against us. I don't think that they just felt, man, that they could win that. You know, I think they fought it in the best way they knew how. You know, if they wanted things for the children, man, they raised it. Now, they asked for it. I think Mr. McDougal challenged the superintendent. I think he got a lot more. He got about as much as he was going to get. When the school board gave us a budget, man, it was bare bone. And the fact that he went down and petitioned, he got a little bit more. Now, up in Hillsborough, my uncle was Leon Standback. He had to do the same thing, okay? He got to walk tightrope. You know, those people got to think so highly of you that when you come in and ask for it, you can get a little bit more, but you didn't get the same that the white kids got. Now, my uncle built Central High, man, from a two-room schoolhouse, you know, to one of the finest schools that you'll find. And MacDougall did the same thing. I would be willing to say that my uncle probably got a lot more in Hillsborough than Mr. MacDougall did in Chapel Hill. Okay. That's just the way it was. That was the way it was all over, except for the larger places like Greensboro and Durham, you know, and maybe Raleigh. Now, if you look at the people in Durham, man, with North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company, you have some strong leaders over there, and Durham has always challenged them, okay? You know, the Durham Committee on Negro Affairs, man, always challenged them. And they always got what they wanted. You know, whether it was with the town or state government, they got what they want because you had some very strong leaders, you know, that weren't beholden to anybody. Their salaries were paid from the insurance company and the banks and whatever that they were in. Okay. So they didn't have to go in with hat in hand, you know, and say, boss, you know, and I'm working for you. You got a loan from me at the bank that you may call in, you know. They knew how to put the pressure on. So people did pretty much what they thought they could do. So.
What I'd like to do now is have you talk about what you know about the riot that occurred at the high school. I guess it was in 1969.
I guess.
We'll have to check on the date.
Right.
And then I'd like you to get into what happened after the riot, how the community responded, and what various groups of people did to address the anger that the black students expressed.
Okay. Leading up to the riot, I think there were several confrontations. I think that there were people like Mr. C.A. MacDougall and R.D. Smith that were always able, you know, to keep things under control. But those students continue to feel that their concerns were not being addressed. And little bit by little bit, things began to happen. And students were very angry. And so I don't know what precipitated the riot, But I do know that the students went through and toured parts of the school. If I'm not sure, but I think that the police was called in, you know, and therefore it made the news. Maybe there were small riots that never made the news that Mr. R.D. Smith and Mr. C.A. McDougall were able to control. But once this made the news, then it was out there. I do recall some of the school board members asking some of the community leaders to come to a meeting and to see what we could do to try to resolve some of the issues and some of the problems. I do recall serving on some of the groups and so forth where we began to break up into small committees and meet, you know, to talk about the issues and come up with recommendations.
Were there students who were parts of these committees, members of the committees?
Don't think there were. I think it was just the parents of the children that came. I do recall that there were meetings